that world mechanical. But what happens is that this theme is so put into the apostle Paul that as he contemplates what he's going to tell them, before he tells them anything, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that would be delightful. If I am preparing messages with the assistance of God, before I spoke to you, and before I say anything to you, pray with the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rather than going over and saying, "Well, I suppose I'd better give them this. This might be the portion from God's word." Paul was so clearly with the truth that he had to tell them about Christ and about his church, that there came forth from his heart a blessing to God. Now notice the word blessing three times. First of all, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In this verse, we have blessing. Paul is blessing God, and then God is blessing us. And he tells us the nature of those blessings. They're spiritual blessings from heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me just mention this. At times, I've given messages on this verse to two others, because there is a structure to the Word of God, and there is an association of the Word of God, and Paul, time and again, thinking of the subject, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says it in Ephesians 1:3, and he says it in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Paul twice says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." On other occasions, he says, "Thanks be unto God." These are outbursts, and they are in trilogy. And so, three times in the New Testament, twice by Paul, and the third time by Peter, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, we have this identical construction, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then Peter goes on to tell you just why he is saying, "Blessed be the God and Father." He, as well as Paul, was thrilled with the message that he was to give unto the children of God. And so think of that now. When you are contemplating the portions in the Scripture, before you do the teaching, it's quite in order to say, "Blessed be God." Think of the 10 lepers that were healed, and the Lord Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." But then one of them called to be the healed. He blessed God. He thanked God with a loud voice. And then he went to receive the cleansing and the truth. And so Paul, while he is constrained by the Spirit of God, the writer of these things concerning the church, left as the leper looks at himself and sees him clean, and he says, "Thanks be to God." And so, in like manner, Paul, before he writes this message to the church, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Because he is not writing something as a lawyer would open a will and saying to the heirs, "These things are yours." But Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings." He's reading the will, and Paul is ready for people of God are included. And what is in this will? You say a will? Yes. For the simple reason, I can't go into all of this now, and at times I tell you things in a simple way without explanation. And so I simply tell you this. The New Testament is the new covenant. It is a covenant on which is a testament. But if it is a testament, if a person has his last will and testament, and then that testament is opened and read, it is a will, and so we read what is left to us. You read about that in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And so here is the apostle, and he is thinking of all that is his as brothers to Christians, because it says in Romans chapter 8, if we are children of God, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. And what are we heir to? Why, we are heir to all spiritual blessings, everything is ours. He who cares not his own son to deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There is nothing but God that goes on. It's like this in the Old Testament. I was telling you that every major New Testament doctrine can be discovered in the Old Testament, in illustration or in anticipation. And here it says in Romans 8 that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is Isaac, and the servant tells the beggar and those that are listening, the relatives, that Abraham has one son, and he's given unto him everything that he has. He's a beautiful father, and he's given everything that he has to Isaac. And the servant says, and Isaac went to Rebecca as a wife, and he's going to give her part of the thing that it is. And Rebecca is going to become a joint heir with the husband, and she voluntarily says, yes, I will go with this man. I show you that I'm interested to show you how that all the major doctrines in the New Testament are illustrated completely somewhere in the Old Testament. And so Paul includes himself with the saints, and we're all partakers of these spiritual blessings. And in the contrast, and inasmuch as I said that in 1 Peter 1:3 we have something similar, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then he tells why his blessings are. If you look at it, you'll see that it's ever so similar to what we have here. In fact, listen to it. I will quote them both to you. Here it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now listen to 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Both of them are saying the same thing. It says it is incorruptible, it is undefiled, it is heaven. Now, listen to what Paul says. He says, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I told you that Ephesians was the epistle, the most advanced epistle that reveals to us most about the church. But if you read 1 Peter, it seems that Peter had read Ephesians and gotten some thoughts from that, and I believe that's what it is. Or else Paul got some from Peter, or else the Spirit of God revealed the same line of thought to both of them, and Peter expressed it in his concept, aided by the Spirit, and Paul by his. But inasmuch as in his second epistle, Peter speaks about the Apostle Paul, our beloved brother of Saul, and then he goes on to tell about the wisdom given unto him, telling some things, speaking things that are difficult to be understood. And so if you read the epistle, not only grasp the epistle and the others with which it's associated, but the other authors of the New Testament, and see whether they have read them, it comes to mind. If you read 2 Peter, you cannot help but think of the epistle of Jude. And if you read Isaiah, you cannot help but think of the apostle of Micah. And if you read Obadiah, you cannot help but think of some of the things that Jeremiah did. Now, they might not mean anything to you now, but in the coming days, if you're reading these portions, one and then the other, you'll say, that's funny. I remember someone reminded me of that. And so when you read Ephesians and then you read 1 Peter, see the similarities, even though they are differently expressed, as you read one and then the other. All right, notice this, that in contrast to the nation of Israel that was blessed with earthly blessings, and they were conditional, and they were in the land of Palestine, then it's entirely different. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and they are in heavenly places. And this is the way he puts it in Colossians. It says, we are made to be inheritance of the things we inherit. I'll give it to you exactly the way it's found. I'll read it to you for the sake of time. It says, he made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints, notice, in light. We are blessed with heavenly blessings, spiritual blessings, and so it's taken out of this world. If you say, well, has God not given us any material blessings? Well, of course. He says in Hebrews 13, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You are not to be anxious what they want to eat or drink. God has promised those things. Yes. But, in comparison to these earthly things, Paul passes them by. And he talks about our spiritual blessings, because everything on earth that God gives us is going to pass away. No matter how beautiful and delightful it is, he's going to create new heaven and a new earth there in brother's righteousness. But the heavenly spiritual blessings endure forever. And so we are the recipients of all spiritual blessings. And I must tell you this, I have some Mormons to come to my house on one occasion. And when anyone comes, I don't care if he's a Mormon or charismatic, I say to him, do you have anything that you can give me that is not already mine that Christ has given me? And so they were telling the things that they could give me. I said, well, that's strange. I said, it says in Ephesians 3 that God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If he's given me all spiritual blessings, what has he kept back? And they said, nothing. I said, well, what have you got to give me that Christ has already given me? And they thought, and they said this, we can give you a permanent marriage to your wife if you come out to Salt Lake City Depot and get married in the temple there. Is that remarkable? That's the only thing that they could give me that I didn't have. A permanent marriage. But the Lord Jesus has said, in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage. And so they had nothing to give me. They would take away something that I had. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, every other cult will take something away from you. They promise you something that you don't have, but Christ has already given you every spiritual blessing. It's all yours. Now, we don't ever enter it down here, and as yet we haven't come into it when Christ comes back again, but everything is already ours, and we appropriate it by faith. And we take advantage of these exceeding great and precious promises. And so let no one come and say, you know that there's something that you don't have. That's untrue. Everything is mine. And anything that I give you now, it was yours already. I'm simply bringing to your attention something that God told you in His Word, that God has given to you, to let you know that it's yours. All right, I can't stay forever on these things, but just this. It says that the blessings are spiritual blessings, and the fear in which they are given to us are heavenly places. Remember that for this reason. I want to bring them to your attention right now because you don't realize what the King James Version has done to you in taking the same word, heavenly, and translating it a different way in chapter 6. But in chapter 1, we have in heavenly places, and then we have also in verse 20. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Let's cover them right now. These are all the references to in heavenly places. Verse 20 says, when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places. Now, remember that. That's the key verse. When it says he's been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, what does he mean? Well, there is the Lord Jesus Christ right now. You say he is at God's right hand in heavenly places. So that's the place that we can address. Do you remember that? So heavenly places, God defines it in verse 20. It is at the right hand of God. Those are the heavenly places. Not the atmospheric heaven, but the heaven of heaven, the highest heaven. And that is where we have been blessed. All right. Now, look down at verse 6. In chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 6. And it says, and raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so I know exactly where I am seated positionally and spiritually as a might. It's in heavenly places where the Lord Jesus is, at the right hand of God in heavenly places. This is where I am. Now, look in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 10. And again, we see the occupants of these heavenly places. It says, to the intent that now under the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. And so, the Lord Jesus and the Father are not in heaven alone, but there are all of these angelic beings up there. And they are looking down from heaven, and God's purpose is to show today's beings in heavenly places the powerful wisdom through the church. Now, turn over to chapter 6. Chapter 6, and look at verse 12. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, power against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You see how the King James changed it? They put down something different because I wonder if they were afraid to put down the truth that even now Satan still has access to the throne of God. He had it in the book of Job. You read that there was a time when the sons of God had to present themselves before God, and God is sitting upon his throne, and Satan and wicked hosts of heaven, they are in heavenly places, and so they still have access. You'll find in Revelation chapter 12, in the coming days, they're going to be cast down. But there are these wicked principalities and powers in heavenly places, as well as the good principalities and powers that we read about in chapter 3. I just wanted to mention those to show you how as beautiful as the translation of the King James is, and as redundant and as semantic as the 1901 is, it will take the same word and consistently translate the Greek by the English. And though it's not as beautiful as the King James, I can follow it and I see exactly what God is teaching. And so remember those references to the heavenly places. Where is the spirit of blessing of the church? It's heavenly. And what are the blessings of the church? They are spiritual. But at the same time, do not forget that the Lord Jesus promised that if we could put things to him, he would have now in this life. And he mentions all the material things as well. But Paul is dealing with the heavenly character and the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. Now verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In verse 3, he blessed us in Christ. In verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. No wonder Paul is bursting out, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, we have been blessed in Christ Jesus, and God chooses us in virtue of our union with Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Now again, I must say the three New Testament references, and there are only three, that refer to time before the foundation of the world. And listen to them. They're found in John 17, they're found in Ephesians 1, and they're found in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now listen to them. These three references, the things that God tells us before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 17, he said, Father, you love me before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians, Paul tells us that we were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And in 1 Peter, it says that the Lord Jesus was foreknown. It says foreordained in the King James, but it's the same word, foreknown. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Now think of these things. I could give messages on each one of these. I can only mention them to you now. But think of this. Before the foundation of the world, we had the Father loving the Son. Before the foundation of the world, we have in the counsel of God, the Father choosing to elect. And before the foundation of the world, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of the sin. Because it says in 1 Peter 1:19 that you will not redeem the corruptible things of your children, go from your vain manner of life handed down by your Father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a Lamb without spot and without blemish, who verily was foreknown before the foundation of the world. And so these three things are brought to our attention. The love of the Father to the Son, the choosing of the elected God in Christ, and the death of the Lord Jesus, as the Lamb of God. And these are some of the things that the Lord will bring to our attention now. The time is on. Let us pray. Father, well might the Apostle Paul say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice at the rich charity that is ours. How much is ours, and it's all free. It's according to grace, it's according to the good pleasure of thy will. It is the thankful our Father that in eternity you thought of us. We will keep on doing things as David did,
Jeremiah, it says, you will think on these things, but rejoice that now in time, not at this day, we think about an eternity before there was in the universe. And thou didst love thy son, and thou didst choose us, and thou didst have thy son in it. We thank the profound Father, who is told us, we would never know of these things, but he is told us, and we rejoice in them all their truth. And so keep us thy word, we are thankful that we are part of the church, and so let us know and rejoice all of the blessings of the hour that we have accepted in Christ Jesus, and with me we pray. Amen. And we live in it.